That's your friend John Walden, Colorado Springs. I'd like you to turn to the book of the Revelation, the last book in your Bible. Now, don't be frightened of this. Some people never read the book of the Revelation. Strange, but this is true. Some people say they're just not interested in prophecy, perhaps because there have been some radical things said about prophecy, some false teaching about it. Others say, oh, I never read the Revelation because I can't understand it anyway. And yet the Lord plainly said to us in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I've even heard people say that it's a sealed book, but this is not true, because he plainly said, seal not these things. He said to Daniel, seal up the things which thou hast written, but not to John in the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation is, as its name would imply, a revelation, an unveiling, a teaching. Don't call it the Revelations, plural. It is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of St. John the Divine, as some of our Bibles give. There is no such person as a divine. Only God has any right to this title. He is a saint in the same way that all believers are saints. And it's not his revelation. It was given to him and to all of his servants, to all of God's servants, sent by his servant John. So this is an unveiling, a revelation of the Lord Jesus. He wants us to read it, he wants us to hear it, that means to understand it, and he wants us to keep it. Now, we can't keep the words of this prophecy in the way that we could keep his commands or his word, but we can keep it in the sense that we believe these things and we expect the fulfillment of them. Now, in the book of the Revelation, we have some problems which we may as well face right from the beginning. We're going to learn a lot about the Lord Jesus, but we're going to learn it in a style a little different from some other books. It says at the very beginning, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it. Now, the first four letters of the word signified give us the word sign, and this is the way the book of the Revelation is written, by signs or symbols. Now, these are not strange things that can only be understood by certain people who must write books and sell them to us. But the word sign, of course, takes us back right away to the other things that are given in the Word of God. And these symbols can all be understood and can only be understood by reading the rest of Scripture. And I think that's one of the reasons why such a blessing is pronounced on those who will read and study the book of the Revelation, is because you must be acquainted with the rest of the Word of God if you're going to understand the book of the Revelation. It is intertwined with all of the rest of the Bible. Now, there's great profit in the study of the prophecies of the Word of God. At least four-fifths of the Old Testament was prophecy, or future, unfulfilled, when it was written. And much of the Bible still would have little value to us unless we believe that it is still to be fulfilled. The book of the Revelation closes the canon of Scripture, so it's a sort of capstone to the pyramid, or it is the completion of the circle, if you think of the Word of God in that way. It dovetails into the book of Genesis. In fact, many of the things which are introduced in the book of Genesis are brought to light at the close of the book of the Revelation. Someone has likened it to a tapestry where you have all of the threads tied at each end. And all of the threads of Scripture come out in the book of Genesis, and they again come out in the book of the Revelation. And they may have only appeared a few times through the book, but you'll find them all completed here at the close. The book of the Revelation is in three divisions, not equal divisions, but three divisions, and these divisions are given in verse 19 of the first chapter. Now, I believe that God has given us the key to his book in the person of his Son. I believe, too, that he has given us the keys to each individual book which we may study, and that the key will be found hanging right by the door. In the case of John's Gospel, it's hanging by the back door. In the 20th chapter, in verse 31, he tells us why the book of John was written. And I think he tells us here, in Revelation 1:19, just how the book of the Revelation is given. Write the things which thou hast seen, that would be the first chapter, and the things which are, that would be chapters 2 and 3, and the things which shall be hereafter, or after these things. And chapter 4 begins with that same statement, that these are the things which shall be after these things. The end of verse 1 of chapter 4 says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, or after these things. The same expression exactly. So, we're going to learn something which John saw in chapter 1. In chapters 2 and 3, we're going to learn about the things which are in this present dispensation. Now, while you should be interested in what's going to happen, you should also be interested in what is happening, because God is doing something in the world today. And then from chapter 4 and verse 1 to the end of the book are things which are still future. There is no other interpretation of the book of Revelation which I have ever found to be satisfactory, or even which makes sense. Now God wants us to know about His Son. This is a revelation of His Son. This tells us about the acquired glory of His Son. And the Lord Jesus is mentioned in many ways, but He's presented specially in this first chapter as the Son of Man. Now Son of Man is a title given to the Lord Jesus in His humiliation. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Lord Jesus came to this earth as the Son of Man. He was eternally the Son of God, and the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. The Lord Jesus came down here and suffered as the Son of Man. And so we're told in the 5th chapter of John's Gospel that it is as the Son of Man that He will be exalted and given all authority, both to judge as well as to give life. And you and I are going to have to do with the Son of Man. If you accept the Son of Man as your Savior now, as the one who loved you and died in your place, you'll be brought into sharing in all of these blessings and all of the glories that are His, as shown in the book of the Revelation. But if you reject Him, the Son of Man, who came to be your Savior, then you will have to face Him as your judge in the coming day, because God has committed all judgment unto Him because He is the Son of Man. Now in the first chapter of the Revelation, we have the Lord Jesus presented as the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, meaning He's the source and the consummation of all things, the beginning and the ending. There's no evolution here. You've got to look to God for the beginnings. He's called the Lord. He's called the Almighty. And He's even called by His human name, Jesus. As Son of Man, the Lord Jesus appears in the midst of His people. That is, He is standing in the midst of 7 lampstands, properly. They're called candlesticks here. This is not the 7-branch candlestick inside the sanctuary in the Old Testament, but these are 7 candles standing each on their own base and giving light in the world. And this is what the church, each church ought to be, each individual company of God's people. The Lord standing in the midst of His people here is shown in glory. He's clothed with beautiful garments. John had stood by the cross and seen the Lord Jesus stripped of His garments with a crown of thorns on His head. Now he sees Him as the glorified one with a golden belt about His breast and His head and His hair white as wool, showing that He's the same one that Daniel saw in the Revelation. And he sees Him as one who has the right to judge. He sees Him as holding 7 stars in His hands, which we'll read about in the next chapter, a 2-edged sword in His mouth, which means the Word of God going out of His mouth. And John, who knew Him so well and used to lean on His breast, fell down as one dead. But the Lord told him, don't be afraid. And this is for you, my friend. Don't be afraid. The Lord Jesus was dead, but he's alive forevermore, and he has the keys of hell and of death. And if you know the Lord Jesus, the subject of the book of the Revelation, you can be delivered from all fear. As to your sins, for he put them away. As to your present care, because he lives to care for you. And as to your future, because the Lord Jesus is the key to the future, he's the one who is glorified in this book of the Revelation. Read through this first chapter, and as you see who he is, fall at his feet, accept him, trust him, worship him. Our Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son. We thank thee that he is now glorified. We pray that those who have not yet trusted him might do so, and that we who know him might love him more. Take our thanks in his precious name. Amen.